Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Associated Alcohols and Breweries Limited Q2 and FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Valorem Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all. My name is Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Associated Alcohols and Breweries Limited. On behalf of the company, I'd like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the second quarter of financial year 2023. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Now let me introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for opening remarks. We have with us Mr. Tushar Bhandari, Whole-Time Director. Without any further delay, I request Mr. Bhandari to start with his opening remarks. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Anuj, and good afternoon, everybody. It is a pleasure to welcome you to our earnings conference call for the second quarter for the financial year ending 2023. Let me take you through the highlights of Q2 FY23. The operating income for Q2 FY23 was around 147 crore, which was an increase of approximately 22% on a year-on-year basis. EBITDA reported around 11 crore with a margin for the quarter of 7.36%. Profit after tax for the quarter stood at 7.5 crore with a PAT margin stood at 5.11%. The revenue for the quarter was around 113 crore, which was a significant increase by approximately 36% on a year-on-year basis. Sales volume of IMFL proprietary and IMFL licensed brand were as follows. IMIL sale was around 13 lakh cases, IMFL proprietary was around 3.5 lakh cases, IMFL licensed brand was around 3.2 lakh cases respectively. And these sales volume reported a growth of around 48% year-on-year for IMIL, 55% year-on-year for IMFL proprietary, and 38% year-on-year for IMFL licensed brand. In the quest for higher market share, the company deployed an aggressive strategy to push sales, resulting in lower sales realization during the period. This move would help the company maintain its leadership position in Madhya Pradesh and consolidate its brand positioning in the market. The result in the company reported revenue growth of around 22% on a year-on-year basis in Q2 FY23 and 65% in H1 FY23. However, inflationary pressures continued to be severe during Q2 FY23 for critical inputs like rice, pet raisin and coal. This was partially mitigated by the ongoing operational improvement measures taken by the company. EBITDA margin were lower due to lower sales realization and inflationary pressure on the input material. However, there has been a reversal in commodity prices from the elevated levels witnessed in Q2 FY23. We expect the input price to reach a normalized level in the line of previous year, which will favorably impact our business economics, enabling us to improve margin and overall profitability. Combined with strong sales momentum witnessed, the outlook is favorable regarding sustained growth and improved profitability. On a half-yearly basis, for the first half of financial year 23, our operational income stood at 331 crores, which is an increase of around 65% year-on-year basis. EBITDA stood at 31 crore with a margin of 9.37%. Profit after tax was reported around 21 crore with a PAT margin of 6.31%. Further, on the progress of ethanol project, the same is in full swing and expected to start commercial production by end of Q4 FY23. Lastly, the process of company merger with Mount Everest Breweries Limited is on track and we are awaiting approval from the stock exchange. With that, now we can open the floor to Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Raghav Chaudhary from Fintrust Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, hi. Congratulations, you know, on the Q2 performance. Question what I had is, we have grown, you know, YOY, our revenue. But what is the reason for, you know, depleted EBITDA margins? Because our profit has dropped, like, quite, you know, quite a lot. So what is the reason for the same?
Good afternoon, Raghav. So as I mentioned in my speech, that this year was an exceptional year wherein we aggressively tried to capture the maximum amount of market share. Okay, in the quest to capture the market share, there has been a lower in sales price realization, and plus apart from that, the margin has been impacted because of the increase of the commodity price. So as compared to last 6 months, the grain price have gone up by approximately 40% and gold price has gone up by approximately 80%. So because of the increase in the grain price and the gold price, the margins have been impacted. And as you are aware that we are into an excise subject, and in most of the states the price increase in the hands of excise. So we were not able to take that substantial kind of price increase as compared to the increase in the commodity prices. But in future, we believe that the commodity price might reduce to a slight extent, and we will be able to catch up on the next half of the year.
Okay, but you know, second question is, you know, but we have seen a large erosion, you know, almost 1,000 bips, correct? So, you know, last year we were at around 17% EBITDA margins, and this year in Q2 we are at, you know, around 7%. So going forward, when do you see us returning to the 17% EBITDA margins anytime soon, or do we have any, you know, anticipated time frame for that scene?
Right now in this year we cannot see going back to that level, but we are trying our level best to mitigate it to as far as possible. And plus in other states also, like few other states, just for an example, that we are pressurizing the government also. Just for an example, you must have heard in the news also, like in Kerala state also, we did not get a price increase. So everybody is standing together and expecting a price increase from the government or some kind of relief, which will help us in increasing the market share. So similar kind of activities is being done by the other companies. But as per the motive of the company, we will be the most efficient company in the industry, and we are trying to achieve that. And we will be able to achieve a double-digit EBITDA margin contribution in that basis. And as compared to our peers, we are well placed in the market.
Correct. So in, you know, next Q3, Q4 for FY23, in the next two quarters, what kind of EBITDA margins are we looking at?
Double digit approximately.
Okay. Yeah, I think that answers my question. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shri Krishna from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir.
Hi.
Congratulations in the quarter. So you said that there were some price realizations, basically that's why the EBITDA margins have, you know, was affected. So for the coming quarter, is there any indication whether it will stabilize? Because you said that the commodity prices have been affecting your business.
Yeah. So we have seen a slight downward trend in the commodity prices, which will help us in getting back our margin. And as I already told that, as I already said that in certain other places, wherever we can take a price increase, we are trying to do that. So as an excise item, we have to take an approval every year. And government is very strict in giving price increases. So if you would see that in wherever the cases have been, like ENA prices and all, we've been able to take the price increase and we have been able to get the realization better. So just for an example, that RM contribution in this year was around 55%. And last year it was around 46%. So we are expecting it to reach to last year's 46% contribution in our
Got it. And sir, one more thing. Any indication in the growth of IML segment for the coming quarter?
So IML, we have been able to, the major market share we've been able to capture in the IML business. So we have almost doubled our market share in IML business. So which was a strategic call. Because what happens in IML, we have got a monopoly or we get a particular district to operate in IML. So with that help of IML, we have aggressively bidded for IML and we have taken a slight price correction in that. But with that help, we are able to double our volume and we are able to get a monopoly in a particular district. So that monopoly in a particular district with the help of IML, we are able to increase the sale of our IML also, wherein we have got a better margin realization. So we are definitely expecting an increase in the sale of IML also in the coming quarters.
Okay, so sir, basically you're saying that you're expecting a double-digit growth, right?
Yeah.
Okay, sir, thank you so much. That answers my questions. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manish Dhariwal from Fiducia Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for this opportunity. Yeah. The performance has been pretty tough this time, but I guess, as you've explained, that you spent money on gaining market share and the raw material cost was also pretty high. Now, I request you to share some perspective about the market share trends that has been experienced by the company in the last 3 years and what's the market share right now and what it was a year ago.
We cannot hear you clearly. Can you? I'm not able to hear your question.
Am I more audible now?
There's some background noise which is coming from your line, so maybe more request to do more.
Yeah. That is something that I can't help with. Am I better audible now?
Yeah, better.
Okay. So my request was to understand the market share movement of the company. What has it been last year and how it is now? We understand that this quarter was tough because there was a twin effect, one at the raw material side and the second the investment on the marketing cost to gain market share. So what is the status? What is the market share right now?
So basically market share has improved drastically and it is a segment-wise improvement in the market share. So basically if I say that in IML, my market share has almost doubled. With the help of that, in IMFL also, we are able to gain across the board. We are able to gain around 5 to 7% of market share. Plus, apart from that, in other states also, we were able to gain a substantial amount of market share. Like in Kerala, we have doubled our sales. In other states also, our sales is increasing. So our market share has increased because of this aggressive strategy. And the increase in the market share will help on a long-term basis, a long-term strategy which we've played on.
Thank you very much. What you shared is a qualitative perspective. Can you please convert that into some quantitative numbers as to, you know, what is the market share? So maybe you can give the company's understanding of that. See if there is no organized data that is available, which I can understand. But if we can have, what is the situation according to your own calculations?
So according to, what I would say that my IML sale has increased by around 48%. My IMFL licensed brand sale has increased by 55%. and my IMFL proprietary brands have increased by 38%. That is the increase in the sale. And in specific markets, how much markets we have gained, I can provide you the data. I can guide Anuji. Plus, just to give you a ballpark figure, like last year, my market share in IML was around 17%, which has moved to around 25 to 30%. In Kerala, last year, I was doing a month-on-month sale of around 50,000 cases, which we touched at almost a lakh case, almost doubled the sale in Kerala market. In Madhya Pradesh also, we have increased our sale in IMFL, also apart from IML, and our market share has increased by almost 5-7% plus in IML, our own brands and the proprietary brands.
Wonderful, wonderful. So this is very credible performance, and I congratulate the organization for it. So basically, you are investing in the long term by investing in the short term. So maybe in the short term, the numbers look a little tough, but I guess the results we'll see in the long term.
Definitely. Thank you, Manish.
Yeah. One last question. I did not hear as to by when is your ethanol facility coming up?
By Q4.
Beginning of the Q4 or the end of Q4?
So beginning of the Q4, we will start the trials and everything. And post the trials and proper trials of the entire equipment and everything, the production will start.
So the result, when will we get the, because I understand that the plant will achieve 100% utilization because it's an ethanol plant. So when will we see the result of that facility in the numbers?
In the Q4, end of Q4, you will see the numbers. And just to give you a brief on the ethanol industry, how it's facing is basically right now the government is pushing everyone whosoever is setting up an ethanol plant, pushing everybody and encouraging everybody to complete the plant at the earliest, because government has only been able to achieve slightly lesser than 10% of the ethanol mix.
Right.
The target is 10% for this year.
And
by 2025, the target is to move to 20%. So government investment is also... So the day we start the ethanol manufacturing, it will be 100% utilized.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And we'll be the first ones in the central part of India to start the ethanol manufacturing.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you. And all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhruv Shah from Ambika FinCap. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. I have a couple of questions. First one on your Mount Everest numbers, if you can share both top line and EBITDA.
Yeah, hi Dhruv. So as far as the numbers go, the numbers are in line with the Q1, and both and the margin percentage will be in line with Q1. But yeah, what was the exact number? And
so would it be in the range of 190 odd crores with an EBITDA of 35 crores? That's what you reported in Q1.
So Bravery is seasonal business, and the second quarter is little lean than the first quarter, because first quarter is the full swing. So the numbers will be growth from the last quarter, last year Y1 basis, and it will be aligned and the growth will be there.
And the brewery also in Mount Everest Brewery is also it's one of the leading brewery in central part of the India, aggressively growing its brand across the country and different states, and leading sales and manufacturer in Madhya Pradesh.
So if you can just quantify, in the sense that if Q1 is 40% of your sales, how much will be Q2 of the overall annual sales?
Just we have pointed out, since the Q1 is the best season for the brewery, and Q2 is the lean season. Q2 and Q1 is the difference. And then figures, we are in the process of working, and it will be released shortly. It is closed. And am I audible?
Yeah.
So that's why the figures we were able to just communicate to through Mr. Anuj, but at this time it is not readily available upfront. But as we are just trying to convey you, it is the Q1 and Q2 anytime cannot be the comparable. This is very easy. But Q1 was presented the best season for the beer industry, and Q2 generally is a lean season.
But sir, can you share, at least we have grown, because in Q1 you grew like...
Comparatively, we are continuing with the growth, but we were having the competitive patterns, and it is the growth, and we are having the substantial revenue as.
Right.
In Q1Q, if you compare, the growth is as per the Q1 only.
Right. Understood. Just that it was a request because, you know, now because we have to see your company merged as a merged entity, that's why it will be good if you share MEPL numbers also in the presentation if possible.
Definitely.
You know, going forward. So the next question is, we have taken a prior, so if I see your numbers, IML, you have reduced the prices by 22%, and whereas in IMFL, proprietary, you have reduced by 5%. Isn't a 22% kind of price reduction a substantial amount in during an inflationary scenario?
You see, IMFL, in IML, the reduction was done purposely to capture the higher market share and to increase the sale of our IMFL product. Because IML in Madhya Pradesh, you get a monopoly, as I said earlier, you get a monopoly of a particular district. And with that basis, you can influence the retailers to increase your IML sale. So our objective is to increase the IML sale, and in that also to increase the sale of our premium brand. So that was taken. And plus in the IMFL segment, if I talk about, in IMFL segment, we have not reduced the prices. Whereas in certain cases we have been able to increase the price only. And plus apart from that, we've been the one of the good achievement we've seen because of this, the impact of this is that our sale of our own premium product has gone up.
Right.
So now the company has focused on the moving towards the premiumization. So IML is on the lower end of the segment of the business, and other products are slightly on the higher side. So we are moving towards the premiumization.
Right. And so my last question will be on IMFL licensed brands. Are we still concentrating on that to grow, or are we happy with where it is and, our concentration would be to grow IML and IMFL proprietary business?
So basically, the concentration is on the growth of both the sides. So we can also see that our IMFL licensed proprietary brands have increased by almost 30%. And our IMFL brands have increased by approximately around 30-40%. So the focus is on both the bases. And plus, apart from that, we are focusing on our own brands to grow in other states. In Madhya Pradesh, we are growing at a substantial pace, the sale. In other states also, we have to grow at a similar place. So which we have seen in one of the states, we've been successful, very successful is Kerala. So from 50,000 cases per month average sale, we move to around 1 lakh sale per month.
Right. And which are the other states we are concentrating apart from MP and Kerala?
So now MP, Chhattisgarh, Kerala, and we are starting Pondicherry, and then we are recently starting West Bengal, and we are in the process of looking out for Goa and Uttar Pradesh.
Right, sir. Thank you for answering all my questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Ashok, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
A warm good afternoon to all the management people. Basically, my question is that I can see that since last year, June 2021, operating margins are going down, and it's a trend. So if management says that in this quarter there was an inflationary pressure, so what exactly we are doing to upcome or to get a relief from this pressure? And because the reason why I'm asking this question, that our main plant is situated in the center of MP, which is a food basket. Still, we are not able to overcome the inflationary pressure. So why the management is not opting to enter into a kind of a future contract for food grains to move out? Because since it's almost more than one year, where we can see operating margins are going down and down and down, and now it's under single digit.
So basically, we have been concerned over this. And plus, apart from that, what we have done is that not advanced purchase of food grains. We have at certain point of time when we think that the advantage to our company is, one is we are a debt free company, and second is that we have got a huge cash also on us. So we take these to our advantage, as you said, that company should also go in advance purchases. So we've got a research team which researches across the India the price of the grain movement, okay? And on that basis, if we feel that it's better to book the price at a lower end and stock it, so we do that also. Plus, we are also, we've gone ahead and we've gone ahead in purchase from mandis and everything. Plus, the company has also increased its efficiency. The purchase efficiency of the company in terms of grain is one of the best in the country, and we can vouch for it. So in that also, what we have done is that earlier we used to purchase huge amount of corn. And as you said, the company is centrally located. Yes, that is true. But the only problem here is that the raw material which is required is not abundantly available in Madhya Pradesh itself. Like in other states like Punjab and Chhattisgarh and other states, the rice is available and everything. So company has done is move forward and try to increase the efficiency. Like earlier we used to manufacture from locally produced corn, and the company has slowly moved from completely from corn to rice, because rice gives better efficiency. Earlier the rice was expensive, so companies are tied up with few rice mills and direct purchase from that. So with that has given a better yield to the company. So the impact has been mitigated certainly to a certain extent by the company. So the forthcoming actions have been taken across. Plus, apart from that, in coal also, we've been able to purchase, though the coal price from all of you are aware that from last year from 6,000 rupees has gone to approximately around 10,000-12,000, which is almost 80% increase in the coal price. So in that also, company is aggressively trying and trying to bid directly from the government coal mines and get a better pricing for the coal. And in future also, we've applied to the government also for ethanol, as ethanol is a special category treated by the government. So we have applied to the central government also to get a direct coal allocation for manufacturing of ethanol from the government. So which will help us to sustain our price and help us to buy efficiently in the market. And plus, apart from that, on the EBITDA margin and the margins, we expect in future to reach to a double-digit growth. So company is aggressively doing and taking all these actions to mitigate the impact.
Okay, thank you so much for the first question. Second question is, sir, then when you are saying that this quarter, major portion of operating expense comprises that we have done a lot of expenditure to promote our sales part, right? How comfortable we are looking in the upcoming quarter that we can pass on the prices, which is actually where our margins will be intact, which we are saying in double digit. How much comfortable you feel that you can pass on the prices in Kerala or the different states apart from MP?
Okay. So basically, just to give you an example for Kerala, what everybody has done is that we have been in talking terms with the government since April or probably since January last year. We've been in term with the government for the increase, for request of increase in price hike. Or there is a something called a turnover tax, removal of that. Because the prices of commodities have gone up substantially. Like ENA, which used to cost earlier at around 50 rupees, has gone to 62, 63, 64. So we've been in continuously talks with the government, but the government has been giving assurance, and there has been no action which was taken. So recently, of late, everybody has gone ahead, and we have halted our production in Kerala, everybody, all the manufacturers, and requested government to come out a decision, because then it's becoming unviable for everybody to sell their product. So government is aggressively taking care of it, and hopefully we should get a good news shortly in that. Plus, apart from that, how we are also increasing our margins, trying to increase our margin is, as I said earlier, that we are trying to increase the sale of our premium product. So that is what we are concentrating. And operational leverage, and as I said in the earlier question also, that we are at every step we are trying to increase our operational measures. We have seen that how we can increase the efficiency and be the most efficient company in the country.
Thank you, sir. My last question is that it might be a forward-looking statement from you. So what exactly we can expect in the next fiscal financial year? Means from the revenue point of view, I'm asking about.
So revenue point of view, we are seeing a top line point of view, we are seeing a growth in line with the growth which has been there, in last 6 months. And we are expecting that we might touch around double-digit EBITDA margin.
Okay. Thank you so much for answering my question, and really appreciate that. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prakash, an individual investor. Also, a reminder to the participants, please limit your questions to two per participant. Mr. Prakash, you may please proceed with your question. Prakash, your line is in talk mode. Kindly go ahead with your question, please. Seems like we lost the connection for the current participant. The next question is from the line of Arjun, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. So my question was basically on the P&L front, we can see a big change in inventory and showing a pile up in the inventory of the ending inventory. So is this finished goods or is this raw materials? What's leading to this increase in inventory?
Most of it is relating to the finished good only. As you see, as you see the sale of our own products and IML, IML has increased by 48%. IMFL proprietary brands have increased by 54%. Licensed brands have increased by approximately 38 to 40%. So this is because of the inventory increase in the inventory only.
Okay, so you're holding inventory for future demand because you've taken the price cuts.
Sales has increased, so according to the increase in sale, you have to maintain your inventory. And plus, you have to maintain your packaging material according to the increase in sales.
Yeah, got it.
Days of inventory is concerned, it may be slightly lesser in comparison to last year, but looking to the volume and increase in prices, it is appearing in the financial
statement. All right, got it. And my other question was that in case of the brewery, you are seeing the EBITDA margin sustain since the last quarter, but the raw material price inflation is affecting even the brewery business. I mean, all grain prices all are higher from last year. So how is it that in the brewery business, the EBITDA margins are maintained, but here we are taking such a big hit?
See, even that is going to affect the brewery also. We were saying our brewery beer brands, that is the more of the branded product in comparison to the, here we are having the more of the commodity nature where directly hit. We are having the presence in the brand. For that purpose, we are just discussing, we are aligned with the Q1 performance. Although Q2 is the lean period for the beer, but comparatively, we have got the same consolidated growth if compared to the quarter-to-quarter comparison. And we are able to make the subsidiary higher income in with the comparatively quarter and even the brand positioning, what we are seeing.
Okay, so in the brewery business, the margins will be seasonal. It will depend season to season, depending, like right now it's summer, still Q2 was still summer, so it was peak season, so it will depend on that as well.
Yeah, yeah, definitely most of the business is done in the first quarter, so that is April, May, June, during the summer season.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Mr. Arjun, you have any other questions?
Yeah, no. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Jainesh Charge, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. So can you give me the exact enterprise value for MEBL? And what is the merger date that you're looking for exactly targeting?
You are asking what exact MEBL value?
Enterprise value for the merger. Enterprise value or equity value? Either one.
So this is, so we have already, you know, uploaded the valuation report from the registered value. So that can be referred. So that represents the entire value of both the enterprise. Basically, as far as the value of enterprise is concerned, as far as the figures pertaining to the valuation, that is already said, as Mr. Ankit has pointed out. But what we are saying as far as the merger perspective is concerned, one company is the B2C company where we are having the substantially the branded positioning in the market and we are going. Another is the diversified product portfolio company, which is the, in the process of creating the brand, and with that strategy, this merger, we are expecting to make the as a consolidated company from B to C with the consolidated. Since here we are going to increase the beyond the boundaries and going to enter in the larger space. But I think with that way, the enterprise value, what is the created for the A and B separately, consolidated should be the much more and better in the coming period.
Okay, and have you estimated any amount of synergies from this merger?
So basically the synergies what we are looking at from this merger is we are looking at creating a one-stop shop for the entire liquor products in the industry. And being a B2B company, AABL would look into getting into the B2C segment. And as the synergy of as MEBL is primarily into the sale of premium products and has been able to create the brand, so that will help strategize our portfolio also. And plus, MEBL is also one of the fastest beer companies in the country. So within a decade, from 1 lakh cases per month, the company has moved to around 1.2 million cases a month, which is also on expansion mode and moving into 1.5 plus cases a month. So that is there. That is one synergy we'll be able to achieve. Plus, apart from that, whenever you are going into new states and you are talking to a distributor or a shopkeeper, so for shopkeeper also it's better that you have the entire product range and portfolio available, so you are able to better negotiate. And plus, apart from that, as beer is a volume-based business as compared to the IMFL, so whenever we enter into a new state with a beer portfolio also, so per cost, because whenever we enter, there is a certain amount of fixed cost which is involved. So per case, fixed cost would reduce with the help of beer portfolio also. So that will also give a better boost to the margin of the company.
Okay, understand. Thank you. And my next question is with regard to this affiliation that we have with Diageo, right, the IMFL licensed brand. So I think a few con calls earlier you had mentioned that we want to capitalize on this and enter into other states. Has there been any progress on that?
Basically, there is a progress in the sense that there are certain things which we are doing for them, and hopefully most of the things will materialize in a short period of time, which we cannot disclose at the moment, but definitely the talks are there, and we are one of the preferred partners of Diageo for the country. In earlier conversation also, as I said, that earlier we were just a job work manufacturer for them, but now they are taking us as a serious partner. And Diageo is also looking at enhancing their portfolio by way of collaboration. So they are also looking at collaborating for a lot of things with partners like us who've been trusted and who've been the partners with them for over two decades. So that's a big opportunity which we are looking. We are also setting up a new bottling plant with the expansion phase. We are also looking at a setting up of a completely new state-of-the-art, the best in the country bottling plant for them. And we have also seen the growth in growth almost around 70 to 80% of the job work manufacturing business also. So just to give you a ballpark figure, I think last year for the first 6 months, we did a job work manufacturing of 6 lakh cases, and this year we've done a job work manufacturing of around 12 lakh cases. So that is also doubled. So we are also seeing a substantial growth on that also.
Okay, understand. So no, I think great numbers on this growth, but are you in active discussions for expanding to more states? Because I think someone had asked this question about a year ago or so, and we had a similar stance saying that company is looking at expanding. But I thought that given we have such a long-term relationship with them, and given their strategy is also to sort of outsource this manufacturing, there will be more progress on that. Are we in any active discussions? Should we expect something to come?
Definitely there is active discussions on that. But there are certain premium things which we are planning to do with them. And see, the advantage to us is one is that we are a long-term and a trusted partner. And second, we have a locational advantage being in central part of the India. So right now there is substantial amount of growth and discussion of expansion with them in the central part of the India only, and plus other states also which we are looking into different tie-ups with them. So definitely the talks are continuously on, but the things are taking time and they will hopefully materialize soon.
Okay, great. Thanks so much for answering my question.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Prakash, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello.
Hey, Prakash.
Yeah. See, my question is mainly on the merger proposition with Mount Everest.
And I have also gone through the valuation report uploaded in your website. And it is surprising to mention that there is no enterprise value mentioned there. And out of the this approved method for valuation, this net asset value has been completely disregarded. Mount Everest company, it is only in one product, which is the, only the Bravery or the BS. It has only three products, like or you can say three brands, whereas our company associated has about seven products. Seven products and the multiple umbrella brand. Now, this is number one. If you, we cannot completely disregard the existing asset or the existing strength of the company, and we cannot take everything from the future, because future is too futuristic. Future is like something discretionary, something we take from the air. So if we see, for example, the this, for example, book value of associated alcohol as on 30 June, which is given in your this upload to the BSE, the book value is 181 rupees per share, where associated only 52 rupees. So if we take the ratio of book value between these two companies, for 1,000 shares of associated, we should get 3,441 shares of Mount Everest, whereas contrary, only 773 shares have been proposed for this one. This number one. Number two, if you take, for example, EPS. In EPS, we have this, like, we have taken 3-year average EPS to take for the company. Our EPS is 31 rupees per year, whereas EPS of Mount Everest is only 2.4. So if we take this as a benchmark for the valuation, we should get 12,917 shares of Mount Everest against 1,000 shares of associated. Two. Number three, all through we have been mentioning that our company is doing good, great, and now as Mr. Bhandari mentioned today that DRG is more like seriously talking to us for the future prospect for the more business. So it means our future is also very good. At the same time, you also said, okay, that now you are trying to expand to Bengal and UP and Goa. It means our future will also be good. So again, like going through this evaluation report, I mean, it is mentioned there that for associated alcohol, this market valuation has been taken because it's a listed company. But for Mount Everest, it's not taken because it's not listed. It's on the table. Then they have said that a comparable company multiple methods, they have taken, CCM they have taken. So CCM has a big problem. Like if you see listed company, there are two companies which are, you can say, like similar sort of product, Global Spirit and GM Breweries. Their multiple is only 13.7 and 11. And there's only one company, which is United Brewery, whose multiple is 81.5. So if we take the average, for example, of EPS method and this book value method, we should get against 1,000 shares of associate, we should get 8,179 shares of Mount Everest, whereas only 773 shares are proposed. It means this valuation has been too skewed towards the towards Mount Everest, means because it more than 12 times it has been given higher weightage to Mount Everest. How is possible? First of all, in your this gentleman individual who is your valuer, he has not mentioned that he's not given the calculation. He has given the method which he is considering, which he is not considering. Then straight away he is taking to this is the number of shares it arrived at. So, for example, United Brewery. United Brewery is an MNC. Like, even though it has, all those bad cases going on because of the previous promoter, its price was still hovering 500, 600 rupees. And now it has got a multiple of 81.5 times. But we are not United Brewery. Our existing company has also multiple of only, for example, 13, 14. So Mount Everest is also under the same management. So how can we think that Mount Everest will get a multiple of, for example, 60, 70, whatever, because see, if the seeing the current status of Mount Everest, we cannot propose a safe ratio of only 773 share. To give 773 share as against the NAV or the book value, it means 12 times more weightage has been given. So we and unfortunately in the valuation report is not mentioned that which company which company basis they have taken or what multiple they have taken. That was not mentioned. So there is lack of transparency, number one. We are not United Brewery. United Brewery has got a product of Kingfisher, which has 21, United Brewery has got 21 kind of beer. It has got 26 to 30% of market share, which we are not. So we cannot compare with United Brewery. So unfortunately, the CCM method applied, which is more futuristic, which is more discretionary, and what kind of multiple they have taken, it's not clear. It's not sure, and definitely on the higher side. At the same time, our company has also doing very good. Plus, our company is going with ethanol. Ethanol is, you know, like all sold product, all like assured market. Government is promoting everything. So how can we value so low for our company and value so high for this? Because it's not apple to apple comparison. On the one hand, we have taken for our company valuation, we have taken the listed this market by which you have 13 multiple. And on the other hand, for the unlisted company, which is only 3 products, and like if you see this last 3 tech record, it's hardly 50% of our company. So how can we give higher weightage to this one? So like we should not do anything which is for the unjust or the unfair to the minority shareholder.
I think you rightly pointed out, as far as the financial fundamentals of the concern with the Associated and Mount is concerned, but the merger is not purely on the basis of historical fundamentals or only the future fundamentals. Basically, it is something different what we are trying to explain you, and it is already there in the report. One company is a financially very strong, diversified product company having consistent the fundamentals, but it was in the process of creating the brand from over the years, whether created 10 brands, 5 brands or whatever the brand, but AVL was in the process of the brand, but rightly or wrongly, we were not able to create our own brand positioning in the market. Although we are having, we able to create good efficiency, able to create good financial results, and we are one of the strongest and having the most efficient company in our peer. But we continue to be as on date we are B2B company. In comparison to another company which we are talking about, it is the fastest growing company of Central India. Maybe 3 brands, maybe 2 brands we are talking. But 2 brands which have been grown in the last 10 years, being youngest brewery in Central India and now having the largest market share today, and is having the fastest growing brand. And the company, to go to next level, company has created the premium brand. And the moment with the multiple IPR creation, the moment we were ready, incidentally, in 2019, but due to ongoing COVID situation, we could not, almost 2 years, what almost stuck up. But immediate after the COVID situation, we were able to consolidate the market situation and result started coming. That's why what you are saying, it is not matter of one quarter result. It was the 10-year performance with the creation of the brand and premium brands which was launched in the month of April 22 itself and able to consolidate its position in the very first quarter. So that is the positioning. So one company is purely B2B-C company and going to be the fastest beer company growing in this segment. Although you are talking about the largest beer company, MNC and this, that, but brand is something different. There are the number of companies, we don't want to take the name. Even having the top line is almost equal to the minus bottom line on the bottom. And having the bigger and broader valuation getting in the same industry. So I'm not going to take the name and all these. But as you pointed out, as far as Globus and GM, both are non-beer companies. They are both are in the spirit and country liquor business. So we are not having going to comparison. As far as the Mount Everest is concerned, it can have the comparison with the similar growing company, which is incidentally could not get listed in last 4-5 years. Although we are having only one beer company, which is growing in our pace, but in my comparison, we are having continuous profits, they are having continuous rate. That rate is almost equal to the top line. But we don't want to comment on others, but we are the consistently growing, even during the process of establishment of the brand, company is able to maintain some profit. That we have to say. It is not a matter of profit with my financially sound company. It is a matter of the company able to grow the brand positioning. Apart from that, there is no loss in the balance sheet. That has to be seen. So looking to that perspective, one is the purely B2C company having the fastest growing brand in the country, and looking to their positioning, and with that brand positioning, we are trying to just consolidate. One is the strongest, financially sound B2B company. Another is the fastest beer company growing. And the, again, the beer is comparatively faster growing brand in comparison to spirit product. So that is the that is another positioning in the and looking to the long term business potential of beer industry, looking to their IPR and brand prospects of the company. This decision was taken. I think there is a sufficiently explained and substantiated. It cannot be the purely on the basis of historical, financial, EPS, and all these what we are trying to say. And on the basis of that, we tried. Ultimately, the proposal is going to be considered and approved by the shareholders itself. And post stock exchange approval, we will be coming to it. You and after your approval, only it has to go further. It is not, and even the it has to be approved by the majority of minority. So that's why it cannot be against the minority. Majority is anyhow not going to vote in that resolution.
And plus, apart from that, if we talk about the only beer company and the only beer company listed, as you rightly said, is United Breweries. And the beer and the figures of MEBL and the margins of MEBL are better than that company also, and that is also on the most efficiently and the fastest able to capture the market share. And as we've already shared the Q1 numbers with you all, and as soon as the MEBL audit is under process, and as soon as that is over, so we'll share the Q2 numbers also.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. Participants to ask a question may press star and one. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you all for participating in the earnings con call. I hope we were able to answer your questions satisfactorily and at the same time offer insight into our business. If you have any further questions or would like to know more about the company, please reach out to our investor relationship managers at Valorem Advisors. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Associated Alcohols and Breweries Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.